So, I saw this interesting talk on YouTube, and it was about how the modern education system came out of an industrial mindset from the 18th century, and how children are grouped, you know, not based on interests or abilities or, you know, anything like that. They're grouped based on data manufacture, and they're sent through an industrial system, basically, so that they can join an industrial system. And I think this is, potentially the education system is a cause of many of the world's problems today. People are not taught to respect and love the world and whatever. And I think, you know, it's a huge shame that humans are being, you know, manufactured in this way. And I think a lot of people are looking for a different way of educating their children now.
First of all, we have to understand that the modern education is part of the problem and not part of the solution. Modern education is brainwashing young people to become part of the industrial system. And therefore, majority of the problems of the world today are led and created by highly educated people. They have been to Harvard, they have been to Yale, they have been to Oxford, they have been to Cambridge, they have been to University of Tokyo. All the big, big universities are brainwashing people to lead the society and the future, which is ecologically, environmentally, socially, spiritually, imaginatively damaging. So nuclear weapons are created not by uneducated peasants, but highly educated people. Genetically engineered seeds are not created by uneducated Africans or Asians, but created by highly educated from Harvard and Cambridge and Yale and big, big universities. So all the problems are created by educated people. The wars and conflicts are led by highly educated people. So education, as it is today, is absolutely the cause, if not the part of the problem.
Absolutely. But so, this is the case, so what can we do about it?
So what we need to do is to create alternatives. And this is why I have created two alternatives. One is Schumacher College, and the other is the small school. Now, in both cases, what I'm saying is that we want people to be educated in the true sense of the word. Education, the word education comes from educare, which means to bring out what is already there. So each and every one of us are endowed with imagination, with creativity, with spirit. You don't have to go to a supermarket or a department store to buy imagination or creativity or spirit. It's already there, equally distributed to all people. But now in our educational system, we take this idea of imagination and think it's some elite who will have the imagination. And the majority of people have to just follow these a few great designers, great artists, great celebrity status. And art and craft and all these things have been hijacked and a kind of imprisoned in galleries and museums and concert halls and so on. So what we need to do in our new education, which is Schumacher College, an example, is to liberate the imagination and recognize that each and every one of the human beings are endowed with this great imaginative quality and hence to make. So our modern education, the mainstream system, is creating consumers. New education at Schumacher College, creating makers, artists who can make things, who can grow food, learn. So we need educational system where head, heart and hands, education of head, heart and hands can be brought back. And children learn to grow food. Children learn to cook food. Children learn to make pots and make furniture and make music and all those things. Unless you can have holistic education, education will remain part of the problem.
Well, this is the thing, though. So, okay, we need places like Schumacher College and small school, except the problem is they're in a tiny minority against the majority of normal, you know, state-run schools. And so we need more of these places. Now, the problem is
most people probably don't know how to start it or what to do. So what's your recommendation for people who want to educate their children in that style, but just have no idea where to start and how to make that happen?
Yes, you know, this small number of people you say, but always great movements have started with a small number of people. As I said in the previous interview, how many people were there when Christianity started? How many people were there when Buddhism started? How many people were there when Mahatma Gandhi started his movement for independence? Always only a small number of people start, take the lead. So don't worry, how small is seed? From one small seed, a huge mango tree or kaki tree or apple tree comes. And that one small seed gives you 1,000 apples or 1,000 mangoes and 1,000 kakis for 1 year or 10 years or 20 years or 50 years, depending on the quality of the tree and the seed. So don't worry about the small. Put yourself online and start something. And the genius of starting something has its own intrinsic value. And when you start something, things start to unfold. And people start to join you. People start to support you. But if you don't start and wait for somebody else to start, nothing will happen. So whatever is your inspiration, whatever is your vision, whatever your values are, manifest them in whatever small way you can and see what happens.
So in terms of this starting, I mean, how did you start the small school? What's the method for starting something like that?
I mean, simply, I had two children, son and a daughter. And I said, I don't want to educate my children in this mainstream system where they're only going to learn about rational, intellectual, analytical things and not learn anything else. So what do we do? So I called a meeting of people who might be interested. And about 30 people came to this meeting. And I said, what kind of education we want together? And I was very fortunate to discover, to my surprise, that there were parents of 9 children who put their hands up and say, if you want to start a school, we will send our children to your school. I did not expect it. It was a complete surprise. And then I said, how many parents will volunteer? And how many parents will give some money so we can have at least one teacher in our school who can coordinate the day and the timetable and the curriculum and the kind of learning process of the children and bring volunteers and parents to help and support. And so we appointed one teacher and all other volunteers. And with that, 9 children, we started. And then it grew. 9 became 12 and 12 became 15 and from 20 and up to 40 children came to the small school. And it went on for 35 years. And similarly with the Schumacher College, we started very small. When we started our first master's program in holistic science, we had 2 students. But University of Plymouth approved it. And with 2 students, we started a holistic program. And now for the last 20 years, it has been going. So small start is not a problem. But start. Not starting, waiting until everything is in place. That never happens. Whatever material you have, just start and make, and don't look for perfection in the beginning. We have to start wherever we are. Don't look for perfection. Do your best and things will change. Things will emerge.
So how does the small school philosophy differ from mainstream? What do you actually teach the children?
Mainstream system in England is based on 3 R's. Reading, writing, arithmetic. It's all intellectual. It's all head. So our school, in the very first day of the small school, when 9 children and their parents and the teachers came together, I said, how our school is going to be different? Number one, every child with the teachers and parents, we will prepare our lunch every day. Fresh, organic, vegetarian food children will prepare. And kitchen will be our classroom. When you are cooking, you are not missing your lessons. This is the lesson. You are learning to cook. And then we will say the prayer and the grace. And then we eat together. Sharing a meal together is an essential part of education. And then teachers and students and the parents together will do the washing up. And washing up is a part of our celebration. Washing up is not a chore. It's not a drudgery. It's not somebody else has to do it or machine has to do it. We will do it with care and with love. And every plate should be beautifully cleaned and dried and put away. And then we finish this, then we go to another classroom. So that's one example. Then we create a garden. I said every school in England has playing fields or a gymnasium or swimming pool or science lab, but no garden. Why not? Every school should have a garden. So we said our small school will have a garden. And children will see that you plant a seed and how that seed grows into a plant. And on that plant comes flower. And from that flower emerges tomatoes or cucumber or some other or apples or something. And then that fruit is very green and sour. But with the rain and the sun and the time, that fruit becomes sweet and juicy and fragrant and delicious, and we eat it and nourish our body. That experience, you cannot learn from books. You cannot learn on a blackboard. You cannot learn on a television screen. You have to experience it. So knowledge will be matched with experience. And in our majority of the mainstream schools, it's only knowledge and no experience. So we differed from other schools to our small school in the sense that we provided knowledge with experience. Experience of everything. We took every week, children. One day was completely outdoor. We'll go walking in the woods. We'll go walking along the river. We'll walk by the sea. We'll swim in the river. We'll swim in the sea. We will look at the flowers. We'll look at the bluebells. We'll look at the primroses. We'll look at wild daffodils and how they grow. And what is the magic, the mystery, the celebration? When children are out in nature, they enjoy it. They run. They climb the trees. They become strong. And sitting in the classroom, boring, boring. So that's how our school was different from the mainstream system.
So the mainstream system, as diseased as it may be, it prepares people to get jobs and work and make money. And I think there may be a reluctance among parents to send their children to a school that doesn't necessarily prepare their kids to get jobs.
Our small school and Srimaha College are not preparing for the jobs. We categorically say that we are not preparing you for the jobs, to find a job. We actually say, don't look for a job. We don't want you to look for a job. Don't be an employee. Be a creative person and make your own job. Be a creative person and make your things. Build a house. Be a gardener. Be a cook. Be a potter. Be a writer. Be a dancer. Be a musician. Be a painter. Be something. Don't be an employee. So we are categorically saying, we are not preparing you. If you want to come to small school, don't come to small school if you are looking for a job and are preparing for a job. Don't come to Srimaha College if you are coming to be educated to get a job. We are not preparing you for that. We are preparing you for life. We are preparing you to stand on your own feet. If you want to be that, come to our small school and Srimaha College. If you want to look for a job, go to Oxford. Don't come to Srimaha College.
On learning skills, though? Huh? Is there a focus on learning skills that people can make their own trade? Is that
absolutely, absolutely. Skills are essential part. This is what I said, that crafts, arts, imagination, creativity, dance, painting, music, sculpture, building, all the things that are necessary. And also, of course, writing, thinking. We are not against anything, but everything has a place in their place. But if you promote only one aspect at the expense of all other aspects of life, then it becomes out of balance. At the moment, our mainstream education is preparing only thinking and doing jobs in office at the expense of all our other faculties, human faculties and human consciousness. And so we want to create educational system, which we have created. Srimaha College has been going for 26 years. We have created this system where everything is interconnected and interdependent, and all skills are necessary, and we have to be more holistic, and we have to be more all-sided and not just one-sided.
So then to get those skills taught to the kids in the case of the small school, I mean, the parents alone don't do that. So then how do you get these skills taught to these kids? I mean,
we get volunteers. Anybody in the village in our place. If there are any volunteers who are prepared to teach something, we will invite them. Such as
what kind of?
We had local doctors teaching anatomy. We had local potters teaching pottery. We had local volunteers who were coming to teach photography, dance, music, storytelling. Any skill you mention, there are lots of people in the. We just advertise and say we are looking for. So one student wanted to learn Russian. We advertise and say anybody knows a bit of Russian. Our student, one student wants to learn Russian. We found one. So, where there's a will, there's a way.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.